All right, to get started, we're just going to need a few suggestions from the audience. Okay, name three 90s actors, like B-list or lower.
James Woods.
Okay, James Woods.
A Baldwin, Daniel.
Another non-Alec Baldwin.
Who was that girl from Twin Peaks?
And I heard Cheryl Lee. Cheryl Lee from Twin Peaks. Great, that's great. Now give me a genre.
Western.
Okay, excellent. Now a completely unrelated character to that genre.
A vampire.
Vampires, wonderful. Finally, I just need a director well past his creative prime.
Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
Great suggestion. And now we present Vampires, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. Movie in America.
Hi, my name's Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America. I'm here with two people who respectfully disagreed about Blazing Saddles. No joke felt appropriate. It didn't feel.
Yeah, I'm just glad we're out of those woods.
Yeah.
We're into some new woods.
We're gonna
new woods.
New wood. James Woods, in fact. That felt bad.
Plant a flower.
We'll stay out of Blazing Saddles, which ended at a 48 2/3 last week, except to say it was an interesting demonstration of who comments on a social media post before listening to the episode.
Yes. Oh.
There were a few couldn't get made today's and yep. a few yep. repeating jokes that we had specific right. problems with.
Maybe you guys want to listen first.
Yeah, just a thought.
Before you interact.
I do want to say I felt I had several conversations and we had some tweet interactions mm-hmm. with people being like, really good episode.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the few where we actually had to kind of get serious, but it wasn't mm-hmm. too beat over your head serious.
Yeah.
And maybe it was like a surprise, a pleasant surprise to some people, like, oh, there's depth.
Mm-hmm. It's not just jokes and facts.
And we overcame depth and technical difficulties all on right, the same right? day. It yeah. was a big challenge. And but you know what? Shout out to Robin because for editing yeah. and producing. Because you know what I did that was a little fun is I listened to a little bit of You Can't Handle the Truth, episode 200, a.k.a. the test run of this version of the show.
Right.
Which was being produced, but just technologically, like, this always sounds a lot better than the old days.
Yep.
I think
the glow up.
Right. Yeah. Camila also deserves credit because we use her equipment.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's a team effort.
You just needed some broads to come in and.
Yeah.
Or whores, as they are exclusively referred to in the movie we're about to talk about.
Oh, boy. John Carpenter's Vampires. Great job on the intro. It does feel like a Mad Libs creation.
It really does.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, I don't know how this exists and why there's two more after it.
But one question I have, and Sean, as a scholar of the genre, maybe you can tell me more. How is this a Western other than it being set in a dusty place?
So I'm not a scholar of the genre. I just occasionally watch one and go, that's nice. I haven't seen The Searchers. Let's not pretend. I haven't seen Rio Bravo. You know, I think it's, you know, anytime you have a band of vigilantes or hardscrabble crime fighters in a besieged place where they're the law and they're fighting to it gets there.
All
it
right.
gets there.
And I'll allow it.
And all it's right. in the West.
Yes, a dusty place.
Yeah. That's the only thing that I was like, oh, a neo-Western. It must be in a dusty place or someone's wearing a duster.
Yeah. Right. Neo-Western. And neo-Western generally means it feels like a Western, but we don't know why.
Okay.
Like,
go with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of really broadly, like Hell or High Water.
Yeah.
That's not really a Western. That's like a crime drama, but it's Western-ish.
Yeah.
So it's a neo-Western, you know. can there still be Westerns if you have vampires? I don't know.
I'm shocked because the quality of this movie in comparison to Blade, which came out like a month before.
Right.
Same year.
Right. It wasn't like this was like a low point in vampire entertainment, right? Like Buffy was in its second season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like Blade, like what? We had the technology.
Right. It was there. It's just they just got lazy or someone just really didn't care that much or I don't know. Was this movie, did it cost like $400 to make? Or was this...
Not a lot. We'll get into it. I want to say I don't hate
it. Of course you don't. I mean, I'm honestly a little surprised you don't love it.
I definitely don't love it.
Okay.
I like the genre, and I think the direction of the cinematography is here's the problem. I probably would love it if it weren't for the fact that everyone in the movie is an asshole who I hate and don't want to watch.
Right, exactly.
Like, why is it so angry?
I have that in my notes. Like, you know, Buffy wasn't this angry slaying vampires. Like, why are you all so angry?
Everyone is
dicks.
Yelling and dicks to each other and misogynist and weird and, like, violent. I know their job is to kill vampires, but, like, everyone is just willing to punch any other human being at any moment. I guess it's
even if they're a priest.
Even if they're a priest. It's very late. It's very Woodstock 99 is what it is. It's very like there is a lot of aggression in this room for no reason.
I was expecting Fred Durst to just pop in out of nowhere. Yeah.
But if you're not familiar with John Carpenter's vampires, you're better
off. Government name.
I don't know. How was it? That feels like it was just called Vampires and no one wanted to see it. And they're like, put his name on it. Maybe right. We'll get a few more.
Exactly.
If you're not familiar, the duty of telling you what happens in Brosferatu falls to...
Damn it. How did I miss
good
that?
One. Good one.
Thank you. Falls to Camille Adams with a 60-second recap and... Go.
Instead of having a fantasy football league, a group of middle-aged men led by Jack Crow got together to hunt vampires. They clear a nest in an abandoned house but don't find the masters that they're looking for. They go back to the Sun God Motel to party, but the master crashes it. He kills everyone except Jack Crow and Montoya and bites Katrina. Jack Crow and Montoya takes Katrina with him as they wait for her thoughts to link with the master so they can find him. Jack Crow goes back to the motel to decapitate his team and set it on fire. Jack Crow works for the Catholic Church and they want him to form another team, but he's got other plans. Turns out the master's name is Valak, and he's the OG vamp that the church accidentally created. Katrina finally mentally links with Valak. He kills a bunch of monks so he can get across. That's gonna make him a daywalker. Oh snap, the cardinal is in on it. I'm gonna add 10 points. He wants to be a vampire. They try to do the ritual, but Jack Crow wins, and Katrina finally turns, bites Montoya, and they drive off into the sunset together.
Well,
very
done.
Good. 53 seconds. Covers everything.
I loved the Jack Crow. Because you are right. That is how they say his name. And also, like, I do have to give them credit. That is a good action movie hero name.
That's the... What did I both add and subtract points for? I simultaneously added 2 points and subtracted 3 points for the line, how do you like your steak, bitch? It's like...
No.
Yes, that's a cool thing to yell at a vampire when you kill it. Like your steak. But it loses more points than it gains.
I subtracted points for it. Nothing like a little head, Padre.
Remember,
I would like you to leave right now.
Remember the 90s when just saying head was funny? Like that could be the whole, or would.
Yeah.
You could say either word and people would just chuckle. Jack Crow is the best worst name since, what's the protagonist of Sahara?
Dirk Pitt.
Yeah, Jack
nice.
Crow.
I forgot about Dirk.
Let's tell you why and how and what happened here.
What happened was...
Vampires was released October 30th, 1998.
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It all
Enough
becomes
said.
Clear
Got
now.
It.
Should we go to one's just called Vampires? Sure, we'll pick that one. 22nd number one movie of 1998. Won its opening weekend with $9.1 million. There was no other new wide release. Second place was the sophomore weekend for Pleasantville with $6.8 million. Just a 1 week number one because the next week it wasn't Halloween anymore. It lost the top spot the next week and fell all the way to eighth place, in fact, in its second weekend. Absolutely cratered $3.8 million its second weekend. The new number one movie in America was The Waterboy. The Siege also debuted in second. Fifth place was just a re-release of The Wizard of Oz. Also easily beat Vampires. So really a one-weekend wonder. Earned $20.3 million domestic. 86th place for 1998. It is regarded as a financial success. It was very, very cheap. The budget was originally set at $60 million. And at the last minute, the producer said, you know what? $20 million. Like, they were well in it and said, we're only giving you a third of what we said.
I feel like John Carpenter is the perfect person to say that to.
Right.
Like, he'll just be like, cool, cool, cool. Got it.
What did Halloween cost? They painted leaves and played on a Casio keyboard, and it worked. And he just made it happen. You know, he made it happen enough. It easily made that money back overseas. The $20 million it made here was gravy. So it was mildly successful. It was the last John Carpenter movie that was even slightly successful. He's only made two movies since then.
I was going to say, I'm like, really? What has he done since this?
Ghosts of Mars out in 2001, opened in ninth, earned less than $9 million. The Ward came out in 2010, basically did not have a U.S. release.
Never heard of it, yeah.
Okay.
Earned about $6 million overseas. He's semi-retired.
Good for him.
Yeah. Like, really, what else you got to do that, like, just chill.
I hope he's just home playing his keyboard, counting his money.
He's pretty active musically. Like, he's toured recently. Like, he played at the Carnegie Homestead a few years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's put out a few albums that are not associated with a movie, just with more John Carpenter stuff. He's newly started doing music for not his own projects.
Great.
He did the score for Firestarter. It was the good thing about Firestarter.
Oh, that's why it felt like that.
Yeah, exactly. So he's mostly doing his music. It is weird. I mean, I'll finish the facts in a second. I've seen this. I've seen his remake of Spooky British Children.
Village of the Damned.
Not long before this. It's weird that, like, he threw nothing but 100-mile-an-hour fastballs for 10 years. Mm. Halloween, The Fog, They Live, Escape from New York, Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing.
I always forget
my God,
that some of those are him. Escape from New York and Big Trouble in Little China, I can never remember that that's John Carpenter.
Nothing but quality. And then all of a sudden the 90s hit and he's like, oh, I forget how to do this.
Did he get hit in the head?
Right.
Because it's there. Like, you can see that it's him. It's just.
Sure.
It's just far, far reduced.
Maybe it's just that everything just kind of shifted, you know, just pop culture wise and just like societally. That it's just like, you know, entertainment and what we expected and also what the technology was doing that he wasn't like really up on, perhaps. Mm. And so, you know, maybe that's just it. He's just an 80s guy in a 90s world trying to make a movie, or a 70s guy.
Yeah.
As Camille indicated, there are two direct-to-video sequels with basically no ties to this film.
Huh.
Vampires Los Muertos was released in 2002, starring as vampire hunter Derek Bliss. Do you know?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
If I gave you 1,000 guesses, you wouldn't land on it.
Okay. Ian McKellen.
John Bon Jovi.
Starring John Bon Jovi.
Thanks to my husband. I recently watched Vampires Part 2 like 2 or 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. How is John Bon Jovi as an actor?
You know what? He's fine.
I think I saw him in like a minor role in a rom-com at some point.
Wasn't he in the How to Make an American Quilt?
Like, that's probably is what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
But yeah, he's fine. But he's like, that one is not as angry as this one.
Okay, good.
So it's not a great movie, but it's easier to digest and easier to just sit down and be like, okay, I just want to watch a vampire film.
Right.
And, you know, it's cool.
Which would you say is better?
I would probably say the second one, just on the sheer fact of that I would much rather sit and watch that again. I'm not like in a hurry to watch either one of them again.
Yeah.
But if I had to, I'd be like, please just show me part two.
Yeah.
Well, John Bon Jovi, thanks you. I have no idea why he ended up. It just happened. The third, Vampires the Turning, a sequel in name only, even more than the second one. And apparently a martial arts film mostly. It just is a thing in the world. An early adaptation of the source, this is based on a book, an early adaptation of that novel almost got off the ground in the early 90s with a different director, would have starred Dolph Lundgren as the vampire hunter and Willem Dafoe as the villain. Better.
Better.
Yeah.
Absolutely better.
Did you also notice that in the opening credits that what the book is titled?
Vampires with the S is a
with the dollar sign.
Dollar sign.
Like, wait, what?
Can dollar sign, huh? So it's like, yeah.
What?
Like, am I going? Am Were I
these
seeing things?
Vampires ripped off by Flo Rida? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know why it's called that.
Apparently, it started as just vampires, but then they put that on for like marketing. Like, what a time! Selling spooky books in the early 90s, making about money. What
greed is good?
Greed is good,
yeah.
I don't.
And there's not $1 mentioned in this movie.
Yeah. It's very unclear why anyone is doing just for the glory of vampires killed my dad. Like, that's... anyway.
Vampires killed my dad is a good reason to hunt vampires.
I guess.
Personally, I would say as good a reason as any.
Yes, but it's, yeah. it still doesn't really fully explain his whole demeanor.
No.
And why he hates women.
Or right. That's what I was going to say. I don't remember other John Carpenter movies being so incredibly hateful of women. Am I fooling myself because I was enjoying myself?
No, I think the thing you could say is there's not much female presence.
Sure.
You know, I love both The Thing and They Live. There may not be a female in either of those movies. There's not in The Thing.
Right.
Okay.
The dog. Other than that,
perhaps the thing. We don't know the gender of the thing.
The thing is all genders, obviously. No, I can't think of another time that had this level of.
It's relentless.
It's the late 90s. It's this weird aggro male late 90s new metal vibes.
Yeah, this is the new metal. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Even though the soundtrack was like. The bar band's opening act riffs while the singer pees was the entire score of this film. As I said, because the trailer has Marilyn Manson, I was like, it's one of those. Yeah. We're going to get like a wall-to-wall like metals. Nope, just like...
I'm pretty sure, and I don't remember when From Dusk Till Dawn came out, but I'm pretty sure I heard a couple of the same tracks.
Yeah.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
A couple years before this, I think. But From Dusk Till Dawn is another movie where it's like, there's a lot of icky stuff about women in that movie.
Yeah.
But this feels worse because it feels like From Dusk Till Dawn, it's like cool guys hating women. And this is like, no, women are disgusting.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think that is 80% true and 20% because From Dusk Till Dawn is a much better movie.
Right. I guess that's the thing. It's like when there's nothing to enjoy, the hatefulness
kind of stands out.
It really, it's like all I can think about. It's like, this movie is gross.
We're almost done. James Woods, as you might guess, was way down the fucking list in casting here. Carpenter wanted Kurt Russell. Carpenter always wants Kurt Russell.
Who doesn't?
Who had a conflict. Then he wanted Arlie Ermey, which would have been interesting.
What?
Arlie Ermey.
The yelling drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket. Yeah.
Whoa. That's a whole nother vibe.
Yeah, that's a very different movie.
Yeah, and I kind of want to see how that goes. He wanted to do it, but the studio was like, no, we're not leading a movie with
that. I would agree with the studio there.
Because we thought this one was angry.
I mean, it's not like James Woods is like a notorious box office draw, right? But like, I get it a little bit.
Well, then Clint Eastwood said no. Then Tommy Lee Jones said no. Then Danny Glover said no. Finally, James Woods said yes. The first choice for Montoya, meanwhile, was Bruce Campbell. Again, better.
Yeah.
But the studio wouldn't go for that either. Alec Baldwin signed on, then backed out and just sent a brother.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that...
You know, okay, so have I talked before about how I have Amy March syndrome?
What?
Multiple people in my life dated me or tried to date me because they couldn't date my sister.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right? Like Amy March, who ends up with Lori. Spoilers for that old book. I feel like the other Baldwins must all have very serious Amy March syndrome.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I now that you've said it out loud and that's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's how Daniel and Steven have gotten most of their kids.
Right.
It was like, we were promised William and... Or Alec, and here we
We've got the off-brand Baldwin.
Right. Oh, man. It's like when when you go to the restaurant, you're like, can I have a Coke? And they're like, we have Pepsi. Is that okay?
We're out of Pepsi. Someone found some RC Cola. Do you?
Right.
Because it's Daniel, too. Like, Daniel,
I forget
is,
he exists all the time.
Yeah. He's the, oh, right, there's one more. Right. Like, if you gave me 5 minutes, I would land. Like, you would get to Billy fast, and then you would go, oh, and Steven, and Steven.
Right.
And then.
There's someone, they're like, one more.
Roger. Right. Fred.
You're
is
like,
there
no, I'm positive. There's only three. There's only three bubbles.
Ken?
Expensive baubles?
No.
John Carpenter says that the cinematographer, Gary B. Kibbe, was on the short list for Best Cinematography, but did not get nominated.
Lies he tells.
Citation needed. Yeah. Only John Carpenter says this. It won some Saturn Awards. By the way,
they
Gary...
They don't do a bake-off in the cinematography category.
Well, then that explains it.
Yeah. I'm 90% sure that's true.
Maybe they did in 1990. I don't know.
I hate myself. I will be looking into this later.
a nod to Gary B. Kibbe. I did like the cinematography, and I think he's one of those people that died of COVID before anyone knew it.
Oh, God.
Like, shame.
He died in February 2020, and a cause of death wasn't given. I mean, he was older. I think he was pushing 80, but he wasn't that old. Yeah. And it was like, oh, he's just dead now.
And everyone's just like, oh, just accepted. Old age.
Yeah. So it looked good. It had some of those, like, why is this scene in slow motion and blurry? But that was just the style at the time.
That really was.
Other than that, it looks fine.
It's fine. I really enjoyed the shot and the scene when Valak and the rest of his like OG crew come out of the ground and they're walking away from the sunset.
That was definitely very cool. Yeah.
When just vampire action is happening, it's the opposite of Underworld, where in Underworld you're like, this just looks like blue blur. Right. When just vampire action and vampire shit is happening, I'm like, yeah, great, I'm on board, cool.
Right.
And then somebody starts talking and asking the priest if he has a boner, and like, what are we going for? What is the,
like, this is the, this movie has the longest opening of anything before for anything to not happen. Like, there's so many shots of staring.
I was astonished. I had to pause it and 10 minutes had happened. I was like, there have been 10 minutes already? How is this possible?
In that scene, there are four different rounds of let's go.
Right.
They're parked over here. They say let's go. Then they pull over here. They say let's go. Then they get out and they look around for a minute.
The priest says a thing.
Yeah.
And then they say let's go again.
They open up the van where 12 guys are waiting. Right. It's like, those guys were probably warm in there.
Yes.
You could have streamlined this a little bit.
And then they all have to wait to get into like a nice long line, and then we walk.
Okay, and then they walk up to this house that looks like it would fall apart if you sneeze.
That's exactly what I said.
Right. And they have to drill a hole in it?
Like, this is excessive.
Just give the door a good kick.
I'm very unclear on how much threat vampires pose in this movie, because they're going in there.
Right.
Like, it's Al-Qaeda elite squad is inside. But then when we get to an array of nothing but master vampires at the end, they're like, priest, just go downstairs, let them run after you, we'll shoot them, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's very unclear. At the beginning, they, like, mutilate the vampires, but they don't die until they drag them into the sun.
Right.
Right? They do this, like, harpooning and then winch thing.
Which is so inefficient.
I agree. Take the roof off the house, buddy. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's like, so is the sun the only way to kill them? And then the climax happens at night. And spoilers, no, the sun is not the only way to kill them.
Right. Because doesn't James, at least in the trailer, James has like the whole thing about the only, like, the crosses don't do shit and blah, blah, blah.
That's
the only
in the movie,
is a stake through the heart.
And I'm like, this is not what you've represented in your film.
Right. So why do y'all have guns?
Right. Right?
If you shoot them hard enough. Is this whole thing someone really didn't like Interview with the Vampire, so now we have to watch this movie? It's like, we didn't like it when they were fancy and a little gay, so now we're going to...
A little gay?
And very gay, so we're going to go hard in the other direction. My other pun, besides Brosferatu, was Draculingus, because he has to turn her by biting her thigh and then moving to the crotch for the double vampire.
Listen, I'm not mad at it.
I was going to say, that is my thing where I both want to give it points and take away points.
I know, right? Yep. I was simultaneously like, ah.
Yes. Which I think credit to Cheryl Lee.
Right.
Like, and I just feel so sorry for her. She deserves so much better than this. Yeah. Oh, she's mistreated so badly in this movie.
Oh my God, it's terrible.
And, like, when she's naked for absolutely no reason. Just fully.
What was that? The bondage / exposition scene.
Right.
It's like, and someone, it's like, okay, we got to see your butt. Thank you.
Right.
But the part of it there was that she had like a tramp stamp. Sorry for using the term. We know what it is. Right. That matched one of Kurt Russell's tattoos in the Escape From movies.
Oh,
and
my
that
God.
Was the,
what?
That
really?
That doesn't justify, like, yes, Lesser Baldwin had to take your clothes off and tie you to the bed for reasons.
Yeah.
Right. That's what, all.
Make like, her wear a crop top.
Yeah. And he's like, I took your clothes off. I cleaned you up. You cleaned her up. Like, you lying. Okay.
Yeah. He got some of the blood off of her thighs.
Yeah, that could have been done with a moist towelette.
Yes.
Thank you.
And clothes still
fully
on.
Clothed.
Right.
I was really cheering for her to just kill everybody and then the vampires win.
Also,
that would have been fine.
Like, yes. When she was attacking Lesser Baldwin, I was like, get him!
Right. I'm like totally rooting for the vampires yes. this whole movie.
And another one of these fucking... Okay, I'm taking points off. This goes back to episode one. This goes back to Sharky's Machine, where we went from he smacks you in the face to now they're together in 20 minutes?
I absolutely missed, like, what happened? Was it because he was... All right, so I did... There's a chunk that I did miss because I left the room for a while and came back and just couldn't bear rewinding
it. Yeah, good
for you. But whatever happened in the hotel room, like, when I came back... Baldwin had a bandage on his arm. Did she bite him?
Yeah. So when she was going to kill herself, he pulled her back in through the window in unnecessarily dramatic fashion.
Yes.
And in the scuffle, she bit his arm.
Okay.
No, he cut his arm on the glass and she started drinking.
Oh,
it
that's
because
right.
She was a vampire.
Right, right, right.
She was semi-vampire now.
Okay.
And that,
so
I guess, was enough.
That didn't make any sense.
So then he, like, was bonded to her. I think the vampire lore in this movie is not. Explicit enough. They needed a little more exposition.
Right. Yes, exactly. Because that makes no sense whatsoever out of all the vampire lore that I am familiar with.
Right.
Like her, the vampire drinking his blood without her puncturing his skin should have no effect on him
it
whatsoever.
It would be like the good vampires who steal from blood banks. They don't have connections.
It's all of a sudden you're like, wait, I gave blood last week.
These high school students go to a blood drive and then they actually... Free idea, Hollywood.
Right?
Take it. I'd like it to see that. That sounds good.
Speaking of free ideas, I was also wondering about, like, you know, shouldn't a priest's blood be considered like holy water to vampires?
I also thought about that. Yeah. And I thought when the priest in the beginning was saying that prayer, I thought what was happening was that he was blessing all of their machine guns to make them... machine guns that kill vampires, which to me, that's if you want to make a guns versus vampires movie, that's how you do it,
exactly.
Folks. You don't but just have guns for funsies.
Right, just because. So they're just like emptying clips for no reason. Just like, why? You guys are the worst.
I don't know if this is free idea or revision, but at some point in there, we established that Valak was a priest, right?
Did we? I missed that. I believe you.
I think so.
Okay.
That he was a priest that went evil, and then that's why they were trying to do the reverse exorcism, whatever the fuck, the inverse exorcism on him, but it didn't work, so that invented vampires.
Okay.
The whole ending hangs on, they need a priest to do this ritual.
Mm-hmm.
The one priest shoots the other priest.
Right.
I was like, oh, Valak's going to say, I'm a priest, I can do it myself, and we all go, fuck.
Oh.
No, we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't that be interesting if it's a priest / vampire who can unhold all of the holy stuff.
I can unholy all of the holy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We should have thought slightly longer.
Also, just a side note, the vampire Valak is from Karate Kid Part 3.
Yes.
he was the bad guy.
Yes.
And so just shout out to him because I didn't see him in much of anything else. Other than
I heard he's back on Cobra Kai.
He was, yeah.
Oh, it's, good.
And I don't know why we don't. Cheryl Lee's on my shirt, so that's good. But other than that, I don't know why we don't see more. I think she teaches and she's happy and she does animal activism. But like the boom in her getting cast and stuff that should have happened in the 90s didn't. Like she was around a little bit, but she should have been used much more than this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was like she was good, and she was very pretty. I don't know what she looks like now, but she had a good look about her. She looked good on film.
She looked good in The Return a few years ago. Okay. And one of the all-time great screamers. I was like, it's fine as long as she really unleashes a scream. Right. And she did.
Which, and one of the times, which I have to give a chuckle, because when she does finally turn in the car and she like loses her shit completely in the passenger seat, Baldwin has like zero reaction to it whatsoever.
Well, eyes on like, the road.
He can't act is the problem. Yeah.
She's again, giving it everything and he's just like...
When you're number four of your immediate family.
And he's probably the oldest one, too.
I still don't hate it because I can't. There's too many things that I like. I like the structure. I thought we were getting into some underworld shit where there was going to be an opening set piece and then there was going to be an hour of exposition and explaining who. No. They killed some things. They were like, where was the master? The master shows up and kills all of them.
Like, hey.
Then we find out what's going on and go and try to kill the master. Like, I like how streamlined it is.
Yeah.
For a movie that is constantly trying to be cool, it failed more often than not. Mm-hmm. But this was one of the best not looking at the explosions I've ever seen.
Yes. I was disappointed to see that. Oh, yeah, it's not on a bingo card anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like when they found an 8x10 promo photo of the bad guy. Here.
I was like, is that a trading card?
It's labeled and everything. I'm not going to go back to it again.
Never.
But if it's the third movie in a vampire quad feature at the drive-in, I'll, you know, wake up for some of
right,
it.
Exactly.
It'll still be my nap movie, but every now and then I'll go, oh, this part was okay. That's where I'm at.
It's I give a shout out to old dude from The Staircase and also was in Blade. The priest, the young priest, young hot priest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really know that actor, but he was good.
He was in, the first time I recollect seeing him was in Blade.
Okay.
And from that point on, he's been very recognizable to me. And always, he's right. Like, it's the doctor from Blade.
He's the doctor in Blade?
That tries to get back with his girlfriend.
Got it.
So from then, for the rest of his career, since then,
right.
He's always been that guy from Blade to me. And recently, he's on HBO's The Staircase.
Which I am not watching because it seems too upsetting, and I played all of my upsetting TV show chips on Under the Banner of Heaven.
It's really not. Yeah. Okay. I stopped that and moved on to Staircase.
Abby said the same thing. She's like, I only could do one, and I'm choosing The Staircase.
But yeah, so shout out to him, and also just the fact that he was very attractive, like, in this movie.
Good hair.
Yeah,
that's like my ideal hair.
Do we have the right priest here? Is that him? There's so many priests. Gwynny.
Moosey Gassy, or I don't know. Yeah, Gooey.
Gregory Sierra, the priest at the beginning who gets his head blown off. I watched two movies in a row with him.
Because, really?
We'll talk about it and You Can't Handle the Truth, but it was interesting seeing him. Huh. And then, of course, the Cardinal, Academy Award winner Maximilian Schell.
Yeah.
And they were like, who could be the mole? I was like, I bet it's the Academy Award winner inexplicably in this film.
Okay, see, no, and that's why you have like, when it comes in handy when you have those...
Right.
Those bits of trivia in your head, because I had no idea who he was. And it's like, it was definitely a shocker to me when they came in. I'm like, holy shit, look at this guy. Also, why did it take 600 years for him to find this cross?
Really? Does not add up.
You know, Illuminati shit. The Knights Templar were. This is actually in the National Treasure Cinematic Universe.
If he looked at the back of the Bill of Rights.
The connection I made, last weekend I saw a movie called The Apple. Do you know The Apple?
Mm-mm.
It's like a late disco musical from 1980.
Oh, boy.
One of those movies that was like really a lot went into, like, this is going to be the next big thing and completely fell apart. Almost. It's like a goofy rock disco Adam and Eve story.
Wow.
Interesting.
Is it good? No. Do I love it? So, so much. And there's in the title, it's The Apple, right? Like The Apple in the Garden. And in the title song, pursuant to absolutely nothing, it's like the one of the Lucifer's assistants is trying to tempt the Eve-ish character. He's singing about how she should bite the apple, and with no context, one of the key lines is, and please edit this in, it's a natural, natural, natural desire.
It's a natural, natural, natural desire.
Meet an actual, actual, actual vampire.
Meet an actual, actual, actual vampire.
No. And a vampire, like, pops up into the frame and goes and then leaves, never explained or addressed again. And I was like, now I got to watch Vampires. I'm going to have that line in my head all week. Then I watch Vampires, and because there's no joy to be found in this movie, it just swept it right out of there.
Aw, I'm sorry that happened to you. So James Woods owes you something.
He owes all of us something.
The apple, though. Which I want to say,
James Woods is a piece of shit human being.
Yes.
I really like him as an actor.
Really?
Yes. I like when he's good, he's great. Yeah. Like when he's trying. And like, I think he's really good at quips. Like, I love him in the Disney movie Hercules, right? Like, they should have made him a quippy vampire hunter along the lines of Buffy.
Right.
Or even Blade. Right. Like, this was, again, we had the technology.
Right.
It's like Blade was super serious, but he got in a little some quips in there every once in a while. And it was enough for us to be like, okay.
Right. And this one, no, barely. There might have been, is he the one who says, how do you like your steak? Who says that?
No, that's Montoya.
Okay, great. So, like, come on, people.
Yeah,
give
Montoya.
Me some snarky James Woods.
Yeah, Montoya's the only one. Like, he also has, like, the head pod, the how do you like your head or Roger or something like that.
The trailer.
Have you ever seen a vampire? Forget whatever you've seen in the movies. It's not like they're seducing everybody in sight with cheesy Euro trash accents, all right? They don't turn into bats. Crosses don't work. You want to kill one, you drive a wooden stake right through his heart.
We think we got a nest inside this place. And chances are we'll find a master in here somewhere.
I know your parents were bitten by vampires and you were raised by the church to be its master slayer.
No one knows vampires better than he does.
Open wide, baby.
But he met his match when he met the master who started it all. Jack Crow.
He was a priest. It's the first known case of vampirism.
The first and most powerful. You are the only one who faced Varric and survived.
A master vampire has a telepathic link with his victims. You're going to help us find them.
For 600 years, Valak has wanted to live in the daylight. A master vampire able to walk in the sun, unstoppable.
Biggest nest of blood-drinking mothers the world has ever known. Time to kill some vampires.
James Woods. From the master of terror comes a new breed of evil. John Carpenter's Vampires.
You never told me they could do that.
I didn't know they could do that.
Boo! But there's no false pretenses. Like, you know exactly what. It's like, yeah, this is what you're going to give me.
This yes. is one of those trailers that I think I watched it first. Yeah, I watched it first, and I was like, this is going to be bad. I'm definitely going. Like, if I saw sure. that in the theater, it's like, not going to be a good movie. Bought my ticket now. Like, AMBU Los Angeles, since.
Yeah,
like,
which I loved.
But no, that's how I felt. I'm watching the trailer and going, it's not going to work the way I think it is, but I'm going to watch it.
I think the trailer, I watched the trailer after the movie. That's how I like to do it. Mm. I think the trailer makes it look like it could maybe be fun, and I had no fun watching it.
What the funny thing is that in the trailer, they're like, it's a new breed of evil. is going it? To be introduced is to it? Something. Actually, the new breed of evil is Crow and Montoya.
Oh, very good. So. Yes.
And letterboxed for the week is
exciting.
Got a split. Movies in which a character is cut or ripped in half.
Oh, yeah. Sons he gets Anarchy. Ripped in half by his hand?
His bare hand.
That doesn't... This is inconsistent.
Would, yeah.
If he can just slice someone in half with his hand, why is he even bothering with a shotgun at any point?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, the more you dive into this list, which also does count heads getting ripped in half for... sake of completion. I don't know how often people get ripped in half in real life. I don't think that's a thing.
Like we think it's a thing. Hollywood thinks it's a thing.
One of the first entries was Ghost Ship, and that was one of those
ooh,
scenes.
That's a good
the
one.
Cut and slice.
Oh, I love that scene so much.
And that happens in every Final Destination movie. I'm like, I don't think.
Is 13 Ghosts mentioned in there too?
Yeah, that was there. I think you would just get knocked over really fast and die. Like, I don't think people get neatly shorn in real life.
I feel like Ghost Ship it would have.
Ghost Ship, they sold me on it. And right. I've never seen that movie, but I have seen that clip because
that's
there
all
was
you need.
A super cut called Cut and Slide, which was just people getting cut in half and not immediately falling apart, but then they fall apart. Like Cube is another one. Mm-hmm. And
Cube is a good one.
Yes, Cube I think it happens multiple times in Cube. And it's a funny video. I hope it's still on the internet. With just the context of the one scene, I think they sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate it. All of my "no, I didn't hate it" adds up to 55.
Wow.
I can get to 55 on a lot of goodwill. Camila?
I gave it 10 points for the cardinal twist, 10 points for the shot of Valak and his OG crew, and 7 points for the hot priest. So 27.
Okay. That's very generous. I'm only giving it 8 points.
Wow.
Yeah, I really struggled to find things to like in this. And like Camila said, like a few things that I did like, I was also like, but I also hate it.
Mm-hmm. 30 overall. Sure. I mean, I don't, now what I don't think is anyone should go out and see this. You know, if you're a vampire completist, if you're a 90s fetishist.
Yeah.
Maybe, but.
So I have a fact about this. Do you know who loved this movie?
Gene Siskel. It's, listen, I can get my head around some kind of positive feeling about
this. I can understand why someone who doesn't care about women would go into the 3-star category if they saw it in good circumstances.
In a very generous mood.
Right, exactly. I can see someone liking this movie. I cannot see someone thinking it is a masterpiece.
Siskel gave this 4 stars and said James Woods should be nominated for Best Actor.
What? Listen, I'm going to have to cut this out because it's way too mean. So
yeah, you might be right.
But anyway, Gene Siskel had some ideas.
Yeah. That's what, hey, if we all agreed you would only need one critic, this is why there's different people.
Right.
You can follow the people you like. Gene, I don't have anything on the bingo card.
No, there wasn't anything. I was like, not one damn kiss in the rain.
No, it doesn't rain. They're at the desert.
No, yeah, that's right. But also, like, not, there should have been Don't You Leave Me, I feel like. But
no one's dead eyes were closed.
No. He just cut their heads off.
Boy, could this movie have used a carnival sequence? That would have really picked things up.
Colin thought that we were going to.
Wait, did somebody say this?
Wait. Yes. Yes. In the party scene in the hotel.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Yes. All right.
Oh, thank you, Camila.
Yes.
I have bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All right.
Hey, there you go.
A veto is restored.
All right.
Hey, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Who was in a what that you saw two of?
One of the movies that I watched this week is from the 90s. It's called Deep Cover, starring Lawrence Fishburne.
Fishburne.
Have you seen that movie?
Ages ago.
Okay, yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is
also in it. And I was like, I kind of want you to have watched it beforehand because I don't recommend it because, first of all, it's not that great. And secondly, Jeff Goldblum says the N-word, which I did not need to hear.
I don't remember that at all. Yes. It must have been well before my Goldblum.
It's just the one time. And it's like,
you know, I really do question actors who do actually say it.
It's one of those things where I'm kind of like, I get it. Like, it was like, it was a pivotal moment, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie is, you know, neo-noir, which I'm a sucker for. But the main thing is that Lawrence Fishburne and Jeff Goldblum are both at the height of their hotness.
their shirts are off, so
ridiculously hot in this movie. Like, it's especially Lawrence Fishburne. He's just gorgeous. Oh, my God. And also, it's directed by Bill Duke. And I had idea how many movies he had directed. He's like, has a huge director career, which I knew nothing of.
It's one of those things you don't really, it's not really like publicized or something.
Which is weird because I think he's like a really highly regarded character actor. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
But people aren't talking about his busy directing career. Anyway, interesting but not great movie. What other things did I watch? Fire Island on Hulu was very sweet and funny. The heads up scene in particular, as an Oscars dork and as someone whose taste in film often very much aligns with gay men's taste in film, I loved it.
Right on.
Camila?
I finally saw Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That movie is, in fact, everything, everywhere, all at once.
It's a lot going on.
It's a lot. We had to pause it and come back the next day. I was like, it's not in a bad way. But I was just like, it's a lot to digest here.
And that's the thing. It's the 2 hours and 20 minutes of it all. Like, it's such a good movie that I should be happy with it. Like, be okay with it being that long.
Right.
But it's too much.
Right. It's just like a lot. Like, it's like overload, sensory overload. But I enjoyed it. I really did.
Yeah.
And also at the end, I'm just kind of like, that seems like a real convoluted way just to say their mom and daughter relationships are complicated. Like, that's a lot.
I mean, they are.
They are. But we really went around that.
Yes.
But, you know, I enjoyed it. But what I really liked was the unbearable weight of massive talent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That movie was everything I wanted it to be. So amazing. Nick Cage is just, it's in all of his Nick Cage glory. And
yeah.
It's just like, that's what you're here for. This is why I buy the ticket for anything that Nick Cage is in, is like to do this. But also just like Pedro Pascal. He's just a put-em. In this whole movie, just like playing like this amazing, just starstruck fanboy who just wants to hang out with his idol, and you know, and it's just like he gives the cutest little puppy dog eyes every so often, and yes,
when they're screaming at each other about how much they like one another, it's like, ugh.
Yes,
and this is more of this kind of relationship on screen,
right?
Please.
And my favorite part of it is the LSD scene, like when they're both on, and they just turn, just like laugh, and it's just like. Laughs at the stranger's faces. That movie is amazing, and I can't wait to watch it again.
I haven't seen it yet, but I want to. I like Nick Cage having fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Kristen Stewart, an actor who, if he is having a good time, the audience is too.
Right.
I just heard the old How Did This Get Made episode about Vampire Kiss, which is choice.
Oh, the
wild.
Nicholas. Yeah.
At one point, like, a bat's in his room and the bat doesn't bite him, or, you know, Nicolas Cage was really going to the mat that he only wanted to do the scene with a live angry bat. That he was like, no, well, this can't be effects. Just have the bat attack me. They just had to eventually lie and say, we're pretty sure that'll kill you. And he was like, fine. Because he was like, no, I need a bat. I need to know the reality of this beat.
Oh, my God.
What a guy.
Oh, Nick.
You know, I've been to his grave. he already has it.
What?
What does it say?
I don't know if it said anything.
Okay.
It was just
the unbearable. Here lies the unbearable weight of massive talent.
It was just about a chest high but very wide white marble pyramid.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Just like, you know.
Why
maybe
doesn't
about
the
five
IRS
feet,
own that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it works with graves. Okay. It's in New Orleans, in one of the very old, you know, cemeteries in New Orleans. And on the tour, they were like, this is Nicolas Cage's grave. He just paid for it and had it built in advance. So he'll end up here.
So wait, is it a crypt? Is it above ground, I mean?
It's a pyramid.
I think it's right. I think it's wide enough that you could slide him into the pyramid just above ground.
Because my understanding is they don't bury bodies underground in New Orleans because they would come out.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, yikes.
The creepier thing is, like, if you have one of those family crypts that looks like a big chest of drawers.
Yeah.
No, like the first person goes in the second, and then the second person goes in the middle, and then the third person goes in the bottom. And when the fourth dies, they just push the bones back in the first one.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's there's three spots, but only the three most recent like are intact in there. The others are literally like in a pile at the bottom.
Oh my
That's
God.
How they do it. That's how they do it.
Oh.
You know, there's a ritual or some shit. But yeah, no, there's just the bottom of all of those is a pile of several generations worth of bones.
Speaking of random bones, I just
what else you watch? Did you watch Bones?
I just
the Snoop Dogg movie or the TV show?
Bones. No. I watched Cursed, the second season, Cursed Films on Shudder.
Oh yeah.
And they were talking about how Paramount Pictures was built on like an old graveyard.
Of course.
I'm like, huh? Paramount Studios, like, what? What now?
I still haven't seen all of those, but my favorite detail. So they get to the Poltergeist episode, and some people say Poltergeist is cursed because the scene where the bodies are floating up, those were actual human remains. Mm. And they explain that, and they go, yeah, it usually is. It's not
Didn't know that.
Like, we don't get, like, a cheap... I mean, now they probably do, but until fairly recently, they're like, we're not getting a cheap plastic one. We're just going to a medical lab and buying a skeleton.
Okay, wait a second. So if you donate your body to science...
It could end up in a horror movie. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I'll be donating my body to science.
No.
Well,
not
without some very specific instructions.
I guess so. I don't know. Because I am super cool with my body going to, like, a farm to see what bugs do to it. Mm-hmm. Totally okay with that. Much less okay with my skull being one of the skulls lined up on the truck in the movie that has in the credits just before the stunts listed, hookers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's James Carpenter's vampires.
Also,
John Carpenter? Why did I say James?
And also the fact that, you know, you just know there's some random crew member is going to, like, defile it in some weird way.
Ew. Oh, God.
I don't even mean sexually. I mean, like, making it dance around.
Yes,
shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody's going to make a Hamlet joke? Right. Absolutely not.
I don't know. I'm kind of fine with it.
Well, maybe you should specifically request
that.
Want to be in the pictures.
I am haunting if my body ends up on a film set without my permission, I'm haunting it, everybody. So you can bet on season 12 of Cursed Films.
I definitely did not know that and would prefer to continue to not know that.
Sorry. We had a great time at Mahoning Drive-In, the best drive-in in America last weekend.
Fun.
With where we met Kelly Maroney, who is in Chopping Mall and Night of the Comet.
You look so happy in those pictures.
She was so sweet. We just, the first day, we just ran into her in the snack bar, and she just, you know, chatted and, you know, just like, not like, oh, it's so, you know, I'll see you tomorrow. Like, just stopped and chatted. She was so great. And her co-star in Night of the Comet, who is also in The Apple, Catherine Mary Stewart, was also present. The only one we missed was The Last Starfighter. Catherine Mary Stewart is the love interest in The Last Starfighter.
Okay.
We were sleepy for that one. But it's just I know we talk about it a lot. If you can ever get there, you have to go. Mostly in 35 millimeter, always cool stuff for sale, always a raffle of fun stuff. The music is great. They have, like, DJs, not doing, like, oh, I'm doing a DJ set, like, doing, like, thematically appropriate.
Oh, I love it.
Mixes. Is this the one out in Central PA?
Yeah, more eastern, near Jim Thorpe, PA.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, maybe about an hour from Allentown. And because it's relevant, hey, well, no, you're going to miss it. I just want to run it down anyway. This weekend, as we record this, is Vamparty. Vamparty weekend. Tonight, if you're out there, you'll see Blade and Blackula.
Nice. That's an excellent double feature.
I've never seen Blackula. Okay.
Tomorrow night, Dusk Till Dawn with Scream, Blackula, Scream, Nosferatu, the 1979 one, Crypt of the Living Dead, Young Dracula. This is just to give you an idea of the kind of stuff they're doing. Yeah, Jurassic Park sucks, but I feel like everybody knows that by now. Mostly about locusts. I'm here for dinosaurs.
Can we talk about Jurassic Park 3 for like one quick second?
Did you rewatch it?
I did.
Well, there was to fill everyone in, there was a Twitter. The first thing I posted was my Jurassic Park rankings. Mm. And I had Jurassic Park 3 at the bottom. I've not seen it since I saw it in theaters in, 2001?
Something like that.
And I just remember hating it.
You should not watch it again, I don't think, unless you need to, like, professionally issue your list, because you are wrong, for sure.
Oh, really?
It is not the worst by a lot.
This is the one where the original guys come back from the first one, right?
So
the one that's in theaters now is that.
Also.
Well, I mean, yeah, but...
Sam Neill is the main character, and Laura Dern is also around some of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I come back to, like... William H. Macy.
Yes, so William H. Macy and Tay Leone basically kidnap him to rescue their son who accidentally parasailed onto the backup island of dinosaurs. And it is pretty much, I saw somebody tweet, like, they should just make a movie where dinosaurs chase them across an island. And I'm like, they did. It's called Jurassic Park 3. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. It's just running away from dinosaurs. And the dinosaur eats a guy who has their satellite phone. And then so whenever they hear the phone ringing, it's the dinosaur is near, which is awesome. So, like, it's not good, but it was fun to watch. And, like, there is no possible way that movie is worse, in your opinion, than Fallen Kingdom, which I was fine with.
Yeah.
And then I haven't seen this new one because I respect my own time. But the way the people are describing it, it does sound like it's legitimately the worst.
It's at this point just become clear that this is one of those one good movie franchises.
Yeah.
I have warm feelings for The Lost World, but probably haven't watched it in 20 years.
It's bad.
Probably bad.
It's very bad.
Everyone gets one new one that they think is okay, actually. That's
Mine is Fallen Kingdom.
Mine's Jurassic World. But yeah.
And like a very lukewarm okay, actually. It was just kind of like, oh, this wasn't terrible.
I gave Dominion a 4 out of 10.
Wow.
Because eventually they get around to running from dinosaurs and great. And Jeff Goldblum really leans into it. But,
okay.
But other than that, it's like, what a misguided mess. He said... This asshole, whatever his name is this Trevorrow? Is this Colin Trevorrow?
I think so, yeah.
He's like, I was inspired by my love of the Bond movies and the Bourne movies. Then fucking make one of those. Yes. This is a Jurassic Park movie. We're doing Jurassic Park here.
Is he the schmuck who made Chronicle?
I forget.
And then they were like, oh, you made one good movie? Here's $300 million.
Somebody
literally was like, he reminds me of a young me. And I was like, that is what is wrong with Hollywood.
He's definitely a one good movie guy, which was, it was Safety Not Guaranteed.
Oh, so he's not Chronicle.
No.
Who was Chronicle? Josh Trank?
Trank.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Safety Not Guaranteed is not that good.
I haven't seen it.
It is certainly not the kind of movie that you see, and then you're like, this guy gets $300 million to make Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am curious to see what they do next, because they said, this is the end of the Jurassic saga.
Lies.
So I'm like, are you going to reboot? Are you going to spin off? Because it's time to do something else with it. We know you're not going to stop,
right.
So please take a big swing and do, you know, the musical version, like Joker.
Dinosaurs in
oh,
space.
God.
I'm so happy.
I'm so angry about like that and... The fucking Ken Barbie movie, like
I think the Barbie movie might be fun.
I wanted to set something on fire when I saw Ryan Gosling.
I think I am holding out hope that that works.
Mm-hmm. I want it to be like. I hope. I mean, if this is like a dark comedy,
yeah, I think it's gonna be.
Like, I can accept that if this is all very tongue in cheek. And
I don't think somebody costumes like makes Ryan Gosling have that hair and doesn't realize it's the funniest thing.
Basically, I don't know. But after the Gray Man, Ryan and I might be breaking up officially.
Oh, no. So, I'm sorry.
Wait, is that out?
Please respect my privacy.
What's the all I know is there's a movie called The Gray Man on Netflix.
Not yet. I think next month. I think either end of this month. I think.
And
it comes
you're
out.
Worried about it?
No, I'm not. Not about that. About the Ken and Barbie movie that Ryan is playing Ken.
Oh, so you're sticking around for that?
Yeah,
but
I'm
then
here
you're
for,
going to evaluate.
I'm here for Gray Man.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll keep this relationship going through Christmas, but after that, we're going to see.
Once cuffing season is over, bye.
Can I be positive about something? I'll be positive about Lightyear. Lightyear's good.
I'm enjoying the meme.
What's the meme?
It shows the title cards in 1995. Andy got a toy from his favorite movie. This is that movie. And then people put the poster for any movie from 1995. So it's like before
Striptease.
Sunrise. Right, yeah. Exactly.
It's not one of the Pixar classics, but like in that, it's actually like, oh, I'll only be a little emotionally crushed. Like, I don't. Because, like, I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to go watch Soul again. I'm not going to go watch Inside Out for fun because there's too much to think about. Does he watch all of his friends get old and die in a matter of days because he's having interstellar-esque time dilation?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but other than that, it's
my God.
We can't let you out without a little bit. You can't not have an existential crisis.
I do not like...
But that's
space
like
space-time shenanigans.
That's like 15 minutes up style, right? That's like a couple minutes at the beginning,
good Lord.
And then we just have an adventure. It's light, it's funny, it's got a good voice cast, and I didn't expect to like this one. I was like, "Oh, why are we doing this?" But instead, it's a pretty good. It's just if Pixar made a Star Trek, and it was a little funny. If I like hit a wall and I'm desperate to go to the drive-in, I'll see Lightyear a second time.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not great, but it is perfectly acceptable movies.
I was going to say I'll watch it when it hits Disney Plus, but I don't want to watch time dilation in a kids movie, so I will watch it if it gets nominated for an Oscar.
That scene, I mean, it did feel like Pixar going, You thought you were getting off easy here. And like the first few times, it's like played as a joke. So he keeps going up to slingshot around the sun. And every time he goes up, it's one day for him, but 4 years for everyone else. And so like the first, it's like, why is she wearing glasses now? Oh, her hair's gray. Like it's just these little jokes. And then he goes back and he gets the like, if you're reading this, I died while you were gone.
No, absolutely not. Why? What?
But
no.
But then her granddaughter shows up and they're friends.
Okay.
Uzo Aduba is his bestie and she's great.
I bet she does good voice work.
And Kiki Palmer is the granddaughter and she's even better.
Right. That's kind of close to Captain America, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
With the whole,
yeah.
Now I'm going to hook up with your granddaughter. Like, yeah. Or whatever.
Niece.
And yeah. Credit where it's due. This is so late and so overdue. This is finally the one, the Disney movie, where the same-sex couple just talks openly and doesn't make a thing out of it. Yeah. Uzo Aduba marries a woman. They have a granddaughter together. They have a daughter together who eventually has a daughter. And this is the one where there's nothing like, we're not hiding it. We're not like slipping a sly reference. We just talk about our relationship.
Right on.
Great.
Yay.
Yeah.
Overdue. Yeah. And this was the one where they were going to cut the kiss, but then they got so much heat that they put it back in. So Disney is being wrestled into the 21st century, wow. A mere 22 years later.
This whole thing where like conservative people currently hate Disney is so confusing to me. It's like how QAnon people hate Tom Hanks. I'm like, why are you choosing like the most just completely obviously harmless thing.
Yeah.
If it's harmful, it's in the other way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh.
It's just like if this is the worst thing you have to worry about in your life, I mean, I guess.
Right.
Let's draw a movie. Robin and I have vetoes, so it's, you know, it's pretty much we're feel, I don't know anymore. What do you? This is a serious question. Before I even say what this is, what are we rooting for now? What do you hope when we draw that? I'm hoping to get something old because we added all of those. I want to go way back and have to watch something from the 60s.
I would
something.
Like a proper vampire movie.
I think I'm always rooting for stuff from the meat of my childhood, like most people pushing 40,
or something with some really nice eye candy. Like that'd be
also
cool.
That.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we all want. What we got is. Next Friday. Not Friday, but next Friday.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Do I have to watch the first one first?
I mean, doubt it.
Yeah. No, but yeah, also, but it's good.
It would probably make, it'd probably put you in a better mood.
Right.
They can't possibly be more than 82 minutes long, right?
I can't imagine.
Next Friday from the year 2000. The original is like 93, I want to say.
I would say later than that, but I don't know for sure.
Next Friday is an hour and 38 minutes. And the original, which is from the year 1995, is an hour 31. You can get both of these done in less than a Avengers Endgame.
Right.
Great.
So we won't call it an official that we're watching both, but I'm probably gonna.
I'm absolutely going to watch Friday again.
Yeah.
I think I fell asleep to Friday at a sleepover, and that was the only time I watched it. So I'm looking for, next Friday.
I know that there was one time during the deep pandemic when Friday was streaming somewhere, and I was like, Colin, you want to find out if Friday holds up? And he was like, I don't want it to not. He was like, I can't risk it right now.
I got too much on the line.
Right, exactly. So now things are better in the world.
Right.
We're going to take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging on by a thread. Yeah. I won't let Friday.
They can't take it from me.
The disappointment in Friday is not going to be the thing that pushes me over the edge.
And probably two pretty good soundtracks on Spotify. I feel like Next Friday had a mega hit.
Probably.
That sounds true.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. That is for the Faxi segment. Meanwhile, Vampires, the John Carpenter ones with a dollar sign at the end. Halloween weekend of 1998. What was the number one song in America?
Brandy and Monica. Boy Is Mine.
No. But
Brandy?
You're circling the bullseye.
Or Monica? Monica?
Monica? Mm-hmm.
I don't know any light of Monica's songs.
Angel of Mine or Light of Mine or...
No, not that one. This was... You don't want to say up-tempo because she never recorded an up-tempo song in her life, but for Monica, this was up-tempo.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with Monica's
discography
other than just one of them days. And I know that's
Monica, having got the boy, is just telling the boy that it's going to happen, but wait a little bit.
Hold for me.
The First Night is the name of the song.
The First Night.
Yeah. I want to get down, but not the first night.
I kind of remember.
Yeah. I don't remember that at all. Yeah.
She actually had the bigger bump because it was The Boy Is Mine all summer. Aerosmith annoyed us with I Don't Want to Miss a Thing for 4 weeks.
Excuse you. Diane Warren's masterpiece.
See, what happened was I was kind of neutral towards Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And then Mary Beth hates Aerosmith with every fiber of her being. And over time, I've been like, you know what? You're right.
Oh, wow.
What the fuck, Aerosmith?
Huh. I have goodwill for Aerosmith eternally because of Wayne's World 2.
Sure.
I was basically just there for like the Alicia Silverstone music video era.
Yes.
And that's like pretty much where I am. Like whatever, like what was the Get a Grip album?
Yeah.
Like,
oh man, I think I broke my cassette of Get a Grip.
Here's what, I'm just finding this as we're recording. This just makes me very happy. The First Night by Monica was number one for 5 weeks. It won 2 weeks. It left. It came back and won another 3 weeks. It was a big hit. You know what was number one for that 1 week?
1 week?
1 week, yes. By Bare Naked Ladies. I didn't realize that only won 1 week. God, that's great.